Good. So it's already the evening of the first day of Ostem, about 6 p.m. And now we're here for something that's I've basically done 2 years ago already. So it's mostly an update. It's about the Linux Phone app ecosystem. So it's not really super technical. So I won't go into kernel drivers or how to enable hardware on boot, you know, U-boot and whatnot. It's just basic apps and stuff. Good. So what do we have on the agenda? First, a little about me and goals and what's my scope. Apps on Safish OS, apps on Ubuntu Touch, apps on Plasma Mobile and Fosh or GNOME on mobile, and then a call to action, because, I mean, why not? And then, hopefully, room for Q&A. So, about me. I'm Peter. I'm 40 years old, and I do stupid stuff. Like, a while ago, I did some videos, and it had this badly hand-drawn logo on Linux phones, so mostly PinePhone videos and so on. And I also, because I like the open internet and not just YouTube, I have a blog, and there I collect basically the weekly news of what happened across all these mentioned things. Trying my best, never catching all of it, but yeah, at least I'm pretty consistent. So I've been doing this since mid-2020, and I've skipped a few weeks but never more than one, right? So a gap of 2 weeks. Then I've got a project that's really a time sink. It's called linuxphone.org, which the last part of the what are the counts for the OSs will be based on that data. And then I've been also contributing to Mobile Config Firefox, which has been great fun. And today I've been talking to people about Linux and mobile, and we'll be there tomorrow too in UD level 2. You maybe went through there when you came here. Good, gold for this talk. Well, let's have a look at the changes of the past 2 years. Let's see where there is collaboration already happening. So where apps work on multiple OSs and not just on one. Because, I mean, why do it twice, basically? And then also trying to encourage more collaboration and showing some avenues for that. And then, no spoilers, that's the call to action later. So, not in scope, but worth checking out to are these projects. We had to talk about Onero today. It's a totally different thing. Memo Lester is Oldie and Goldie. Nemo Mobile is also still kicking. And SXMO is kind of in scope, but sorry, I'm not going to talk about CLI or terminal UI apps. Sorry, no. Yeah, so in 2024, I did a very similar talk, and back then I had the time to do some assumptions, and here they are. So I thought, well, open standards, so I don't know, email, XMPP, that's totally implementable. We have that, right? And it's solid. And then, of course, services with free API access, that should exist too, right? No, why not? And then all services that do have an API free or, you know, unofficial, whatnot, that should also be doable. And it turns out, no. I mean, this is free software, so people see something, have something, do something, and then something is there, and then maybe it takes off, and maybe it gets abandoned, or it becomes a thing like my stupid blog post that I started in 2020 with having the goal of, well, I was actually super proud when I had continued that to the end of the year, right? Like doing this weekly, and now it's, I don't know, 6 years later, I'm still doing it. So same stuff there. And then these assumptions, looking at the app ecosystem, still ring true, so no need for different assumptions here. Let's start with Safish OS, with an in-depth look. And Safish OS, yeah, it has this long history. It was really, really technically impressive in 2013, using then really used technology like Wayland, systemd, BTRF, as you know, we may or may not use all of these today in our machines, mobile or not, but back then it was really new, really, really new. And then, yeah, it's still going. Latest read is November. Back then, they basically didn't sell devices, but you could buy a license for some Sony devices. And these days, they make devices again. SaferStress is famous for the Android app support, which is basically a pretty neat integration to run all those great Android apps, right? Or also apps from Google Play. And they have three sources for native apps, and that's what this is about, right? So let's start with the Yolo score. It requires a Yolo account, and it has no for-pay apps, despite being backed by Yolo. It has no web interface, so I didn't count then, and it didn't count now. And yeah, here's a little video highlighting one specialty about SaferStress, the pull-down menu that they do. Then OpenRepos.net is more, yeah, some kind of open source community resource. People upload the apps, you can access them on the phone with the Strawman front end. Again, no payment methods or something. It also lists apps for other projects like those Nokia operating systems that we mentioned initially. And looking at the count, so that's not just apps, there's also packages like FFmpeg and stuff. I think they're doing pretty well. That's a notable increase. That's not just circumstantial, so yeah, looking good. And this is what the Strawman front end looks like. Then Chum, which was back then really new in 2024. These days, yeah, it's still the newest one of these. And it didn't grow as much as OpenRepos did, so, well, I would back then have expected it to maybe replace OpenRepos, but that apparently did definitely not happen. But the cool thing about Chum is it also includes some Kirigami apps. So these days, Qt 5 Kirigami, so you can basically use, for example, if you aren't happy with the Gecko browser on SaferStress, can use an older version of KDE Anglefish and run that, but also a few other KDE Kirigami apps. Yeah, overall, I would say it's looking really good. There is some technical debt, and there's also an unfortunate circumstance that you can't basically run anything GTK-based, which makes it really difficult. Like, you would think, hey, it's just a screen, so let me run mobile config Firefox with desktop Firefox. We'll just have to package it, but you can't, because that would involve some kind of stuff that wouldn't work on that compositor. Good. Next up, Ubuntu Touch. Mark Shuttleworth's dream child. Yeah, it was envisioned in 2011, and it came with a bunch of technologies that Canonical invented, like Mir, Upstart, Unity 8, and they wanted to bring those everywhere, and they actually released a device, or multiple devices, the first one in 2015, but then 2 years later, Canonical had basically dropped that plan and went back to GNOME. And the UbiPorts project that had previously just ported some devices took over. And they really have done an amazing job since. They renamed Unity 8 to make it more packageable and avoid the confusion with the game engine and other things called Unity. Unity appears to be very popular, so it's a commonly used name. And then Mir supports Wayland and all that rest. They are using systemd. They have Vaidroid to run some Android apps. And they also are the OGs of Immutable, basically, so non-writable rootfs. They have some sandboxing, which is not always going great. But yeah, let's try to get to some counts here. This is the open store. It's basically a separate project from UbiPorts, and they have these, but they are the pre-installed app store that comes with it. And in 2024, we had separate counts. I'm not going through the numbers, to try to make a mental note of those. And these days, there's just a unified count, so I can't really compare this, but at least the total numbers are increasing, and if you they so the UBports team does some bi-weekly video Q&As on YouTube, and they always mention new apps, so stuff is happening. They are very much alive now with Ubuntu being based on Ubuntu Touch, on Ubuntu 24.4. They've really caught up with the LTS, and I think they are going to continue that route. And given that they were still on 16.04 in 2023, early 2023, that's an amazing feat that I just leapt 8 years in basically way less time. Yeah. Also, there are other ways to install apps. Libertine Container, which used to be not useful at all, or only on tablets. These days, it could be more useful. And then there are Snaps, which is, well, another canonical technology. And it's natively supported now. But the issue is that you have to bring your own environment, basically, or you have to define certain scaling factors, because this is a Fluffyshed Snap. And you can see everything is tiny, and yeah, you can't use it like that. You have to somehow make it find the way to scale with that screen. Yeah, then let's have one of too many tangents, maybe, and that is Lumiri on distros. So Lumiri these days, so Unity 8, Lumiri, the UI for Ubuntu Touch, it's available in more and more distros. Obviously in Debian, because Debian is, in a way, Ubuntu's upstream, or whatever Ubuntu. I don't know if it's not a clear upstream relationship, but they do put stuff in Debian to land it in Ubuntu, right? Then in Alpine, it's available these days, so you can use Lumiri on PostMicroS if you're so inclined. I've seen the package in NixOS, and that also includes the core apps, but as you can see there, they may not work with your shell, like if you use Fosh or Flutter Mobile or GNOME Mobile, which scroll, where that flick up from the bottom is basically entering the multitasking menu, you're going to have a hard time switching tabs in Morph Browser. So there are these avenues where you're like, oh, I can just install that and use it, but no, not always, right? When the paradigms don't, when the paradigms collide, basically, you're stuck. And again, I think they have done impressive work in the past 2 years, and they are now tackling Qt 6. And there's one thing that I really would wish to see elsewhere, and that's this little donation knack that comes up when you try to install an app in Ubuntu Touch, and the developers put in some information that makes basically a link, a donate link. And I think this is pretty nice to give, encourage people to give something back, right? Now, the stuff that I know most about, or I'm actually somewhat competent, Plasma Mobile, GNOME Mobile, Fosh. If you've been here in this room, I think you know when this all maybe started, like around 2020, it became more of a thing, and then FOSDEM was online only for a while, and since then we've had this room at every FOSDEM. And there's multiple UIs, multiple distributions, quite confusing, and worst of all, there's no proper app solution-ish for a long time. And so back in 2020, I went searching the internet and I found this thing. And I contributed, and then I contributed too much and annoyed the maintainer a little bit, and I forked it. I extended it, and then eventually I extended it too much content, basically, so it wouldn't load anymore on a PinePhone. It was too slow. It would really wait like a minute, and Firefox would pop up a little warning. Yeah, and then I turned that into this steaming mess, linux4nips.org. Nice website, but don't look under the sheets. You should not base an app directory on a static site generator intended for blogs. But yeah, that's just advice. But hey, it's listing 760 apps. Most of those, not all, but over 700 of those I've evaluated at least once. So that's been a bit of work. So that's why I'm really happy that there's a competitor these days, and that's the FlatHub Mobile Collection, which is based on something that's now the most boring part, maybe, XML metadata. So to really, it's a thing, right? It's a standard, and it makes listings in GNOME software and such look nice, and you can declare form factors as we just saw. And that's also these days, this year, now usable through an amazing GTK4 libelevator app called Bazaar, which is basically a FlatHub, but as an app on your phone. And you can go through that on the go section and just browse things. And yeah, so that's pretty cool. Now, how are these worlds developing? So there's, on one hand, we just heard about GNOME OS and the GNOME mobile, GNOME Shell mobile, GNOME mobile share, no, that nice UI, and then there's also Fosh. And for those, we have native UI components in libelevator and libhandy. Libhandy being the older one, that's why the count is also decreasing here. But as you can see, and this time, this number of 315 apps is actually only the apps that I've rated as those really fit the screen and work reasonably well on mobile. Back then, I think in 2024, I just took the total count. So that's like doubled, and that's really, really cool. Of course, not all of these apps are still as maintained. Maybe some apps were maintained in 2024, and these days, crickets, tumbleweeds, you know. But that's just normal, right? So this is really making me very happy. And clearly, Discover doesn't yet indicate adaptivity, but also on the Plasma mobile side, the counts have been, I think, increasing at a normal level. And honestly, I may have missed some apps here, so the actual count may be higher. And also, on Plasma mobile, you can also use those GTK apps with, well, they look different, they feel slightly different, but they work. So it's not that much of an issue. It's overall, it's just like when you install some, I don't know, KDE PDF reader on your GNOME desktop. Of course, there's more. So this is taken right from the site. I don't know, Android translation layer maybe is a small little highlight. I think it was mentioned in the new pipe talk earlier, but then we also see stuff like libcosmic, which is what System76 are using for the new Cosmic desktop. Some of those apps are also useful on phones. And of course, there's also more programming languages used. This is, I don't think, that surprising, right? So yeah. If you only know Objective-C, you can still make an app for Linux Mobile. And then to go back to that area of collaboration, just two examples here, shining examples in my opinion. One is Pure Maps, which I think originates on SafeOS and has been then first ported to Ubuntu Touch, and then later on it's available in some distributions, but also on FlatHub again. And you can just use it to, yeah, for navigation and mapping. And it's pretty cool to have one code base across all these very different, or seemingly different mobile operating systems that all run Linux. And then to maybe touch more relevant or, well, platforms with actual market share. There's Flutter apps, and Fluffy Shed is a metrics client that really works on everything, apparently. But, of course, sadly not on SafeHS and Ubuntu Touch yet. Maybe that's something to pick up from this talk. And, of course, there's more examples. The slides are available. You can click the links if you want to. Community favorites. I had done this last time, and it was, I think, a big mistake. And I've tried. That's why I repeated it. And if you look at that top right corner, totally obvious candidates if you ask on the Fediverse clients. But yeah, so all of these apps I've been using once or twice or multiple times, and I can recommend all of them, so I decided to include these. Now, there are also common gaps, and those are not as great, right? Or not nice to have. And yeah, like, there's stuff that we can't just do as a community, where we need others, and first their mind share and then their cooperation to make that happen. And there are obvious candidates like government ID apps, banking apps. I mean, banking apps are really the most obvious one. Like, if you're ever at a stand and showing some mobile Linux devices, you're going to get asked about banking apps 50 times a day. And less obvious ones, but really life, really important for life. Like, if you've got a heart problem or you're a diabetic, you don't want to mess with your own code connecting to that Bluetooth device. You don't want to do some off-by-one error and die. And then, yeah, this stuff also, right? Instagram, TikTok, we don't have those. If you want mass adoption, we probably, unfortunately, need it. And then there's other apps that are easier to address. Not going through these to leave some time at the end and have this call to action. So, yeah. So I've posted this before on a little red blog post, but yeah, I'm going to retire from my project because of happy personal news. I don't know if you see that as a hat of a new forming human. And I'm really happy and scared and everything. I mean, I'm 40, but it's my first kid, so wah! And therefore, I actually need people maybe to pick that mess up that I've created there. It would be nice. And then, of course, there's the general stuff like metadata improvements that I already talked to. These are two relevant issues, basically. And this is a way to find that out. If you are a developer and you're not even targeting mobile, maybe use that length app, and then you know what the value is that you can put in that one field. People copy-paste metadata. It's normal, it's human, but it's causing problems then, right? And if you decide to contribute, please just read that thing up there. Always be nice and stuff. That's the most important one of these. And with that, thank you. And I hope we still have room for one or two questions. Yes?
Something you mentioned is all of the different app stores for different Linux operating systems. Do you see any possibility that all of these softwares will at some point just end up working on any Linux?
Well, so the question is, I mentioned all the app stores, and do I see a possibility that apps will work across the board on all the mobile Linuxes? Now, there are, if they are not required to feel native, and if, like in SafeHS, some things just, like the compositor just needs an update, right? If you want to run GTK apps there, otherwise it's not going to happen. But in theory, yeah, you can totally package some GTK app for Ubuntu Touch, or can package Ubuntu Touch apps as a Flatpak, and then there's a lot of possibilities. Yeah.
You said One update from the Ubuntu Touch community. One blocker is in Nuiri, so I'm part of the Nuiri stream. And we don't have XDG desktop port support yet, which blocks, for example, running GTK applications sensitively. We are working on that at the moment as part of the PD6 community.
Thank you. That was more of a statement, but there's upstream work on upstream XDG portal support necessary for keyboard and GTK support on Lumiri, which is great. Thank you. Time's up. Thank you. You can find me tomorrow.